This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, we were talking about the interview that Bill Maher did in that Alabama publication. And one more thing that he said, and this is about COVID. All right, he said he was first off saying, you know, this is, you know, you can hate Trump, but you can't hate all the people that like him. It's half the country. And you can't set yourself up as some sort of superior moral paragon because this is your political belief and somebody else has another one. There are obvious ideas where, yes, if somebody's advocating cannibalism, I think you can claim the moral high ground. If you're anti-cannibalism, I feel like that's the Achilles heel of the left right now. They identify issues mostly by what they can feel superior to another person. COVID is a great example. If I'm for more safety, I'm a better person than you are. Ah, we've talked about this. Mm. Well, we can take that to the nth degree and never leave our houses. I believe we tried that in 2020. The great medical advancement of hiding. It doesn't make you a better person if you're wearing three masks or if you want 10 booster shots, but that is the subtext to all of it, I think. First of all, it's not true. It does not make you a better person, and medical matters are completely debatable. This idea that the medical establishment should be able to say, just do as we say, when have we ever been wrong? A lot would be my answer to that. You've been wrong a lot. You told us that the vaccines would get us out of this. Well, they didn't. What they do is they stop death. But if you said they would stop transmission, of the disease, they don't stop you from getting it, and they don't stop you from transmitting it. What they do is stop you from dying if you get it. Well, that's very different than what you said a year ago. So just don't stand there in your white coat saying we have all the answers. You don't. And just to throw in with Dr. Fauci doesn't mean that you're a morally superior person. That attitude is what annoys people. I think mostly about the left. Well, the entire point there is we talked about a variety of different issues, whether it's wokeness towards comedy that he has seen or different opinions. He's admitting all of this comes from the left.
Yeah. Yep.
And his problem with the right, Trump.
One guy.
Well, now we're getting a little bit closer, but it's not just about, well, the tribalism. We all have to get along. I'm not trying. The left, he admits it. The right is not trying to shut anybody up.
Well, and you don't have to subscribe or participate in the tribalism in order to claim, I guess, or promote where you stand on the issues.
No.
It's not required. But he behaves as if he has to do that. Well, no, I'm going to stay over here because that guy. Well, you can say, look, I disagreed with that guy. I don't care for that guy. But here are the ideas I support. And wherever that puts me politically is where I am. The problem is he's always promoted essentially that he's an independent. He is not. He's a liberal.
You know, I've you know, you and I've done talk radio for decades upon decades upon decades upon decades upon decades.
Yeah.
And what I find is there tribalism? Yeah. I won't call it tribalism. Is there political idolatry?
Hmm.
I think that when you have, you saw it when, especially, I think the probably some of the greatest political idolatry you ever saw, that I've ever seen, which was simply based not on the issues, but the imagery or identity was Obama.
Yeah.
There is political idolatry towards Trump where, you know, he's never wrong. I remember the call we got. Trump has never lied ever. I don't know where you guys are coming from. He has never lied once. Well, mm-hmm. Duh, of course he has. I mean, it's just, but that kind of stuff, that you look at that and you go, okay, that I would identify as tribalism.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Idolatry, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Political whatever idolatry, which yeah. is not, but most people that I talk to, the vast majority of Trump supporters are driven by issues.
Yeah.
They're driven by issues. Yep. And he is the guy. He is the vessel. And so there's a tremendous amount of, and has been a tremendous amount when you look at when Trump started campaigning, based on what he was saying. If Trump came in and said, I'm for open borders, that I'm a business person, and I want as much cheap labor as possible, he would have never been president of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
He became president of the United States based on where he stood on specific issues.
He wouldn't have been president as a Republican. To be clear. He might have won as a Democrat.
And so when Marr admits, because everything he's talking about is freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, they want to shut you down. They want to shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to most people, that's, and if you're an American, that is an extremely serious issue.
Yeah.
When you, and it's interesting where he talks about the moral superiority, because it's something that I've talked about, but it's something that I've just noticed you've been focused on for such a long time, the moral superiority of the left that they, you know, throw out at you. But part of that is what we discussed earlier, some of the social media posts that I've seen over the last couple of days where you have had people that, I can't believe I got COVID. I feel ashamed. You know,
it's weird.
I feel ashamed. I can't believe I got it. I did everything right. I feel so ashamed that I got it. Well, I expect to get it because I understand the science of it. If I don't get it, I'll be like, oh, wow. Dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
Because it's extremely, extremely contagious. There is no moral issue involved in it at all. Why? Because I know that life has risks and I'm going to live my life. And it's that simple. And that's something that we brought up about people that, you know, wish to, you know, some of the social media that I was reading yesterday that I actually thought had to be a parody. I said, this can't, and still part of me thinks they're all parodies or they must all be bots throwing out this incredible paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe I got COVID. I just can't believe it. I did everything. And then the one response that just will not go away in my head, well, I hope I don't get it because I'm doing everything right. I get tested every day. I'm waiting 2 to 3 hours in line every single day to get tested every single day. I'm trying to stay in the house. I'm not going anywhere. I'm working from home. I don't go to the store. I have things delivered to me. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Seriously? That's not a life. There are risks. If that's your position, don't ever drive.
Well, I think a lot of people that fit that category would like not to drive.
So when I guess it's just when I, you know, Bill Maher always tries to, you know, peg himself as an independent. He's a liberal.
Yeah.
I do think that. You know, when he says there's liberal and then there's wokeness, well, no, wokeness is a part of today's modern liberalism. It may not have been a part of the 60s liberal, but the 60s liberal was always very suspicious of government.
Well, here's the problem and the situation, the very real situation that he's in. As a comedian, the far left wants to shut him down. But the not so far left, they still watch and laugh along with Bill Maher. But the moment he says, well, really, or if he were to say, I'm more of a conservative, I probably fit in the Republican Party, then at that point he's aligned himself with Trump and he can't do that. He's trying to walk the fence as he's always done. And he talks about the problems that he's facing on the issues, which are clearly coming from the left. But he's trying to tell the people that would be concerned about him, I guess, announcing that he's a Republican or a conservative. Those individuals will never tolerate, for any reason, Trump. They may also have concerns of the far left and what they're trying to do. But if you dare say you're a Republican, you're done. And Bill Maher likely is in this situation and trying to walk the fence as he's always done. Well, I'm just in the middle, and I'm not going because, you know, Bush was Hitler. By the way, that's what he said. Well, remember, Bush was Hitler. Well, Bush wasn't Hitler. This guy is Hitler, speaking of Trump.
Yeah.
And he's playing the game, the same game that all the liberals have played for years. Well, yeah, you're right. By the end of the, you know, by 2016 and the end of the Barack Obama presidency, Bush, who was blamed for everything by Barack Obama for, well, 8 years, was hugging and holding hands with Michelle Obama. That's where the left is. This is exactly who they are, that we're going to demonize, and then we're going to demonstrate that we were just demonizing. It's a professional wrestling method. We don't really, you know, do that. We just need you to hate them. We need you to believe Bush is Hitler. And by the end of the Obama presidency, oh, we're all best friends.
Yeah, holding hands with Hitler.
That's right.
866-90-RUT-EYE.
Winter weather can wreak havoc on diesel fuel. Diesel fuel contains paraffin wax, which improves the fuel's viscosity and lubrication properties. The lower the temperature outside, the faster the paraffin wax in your fuel will gel up, which can clog your fuel filters and quickly put you out of service. Here's a cold weather consideration to keep you rolling as temperatures start to plunge. Make sure your fuel has been treated for freezing temperatures. If your fuel hasn't been treated, you should consider treating the fuel directly in the tank. Protect your equipment with winterized diesel fuel offered at participating TA Petro and TA Express fuel islands network-wide. Additional winter additives are also available at travel stores and TA truck service facilities. Visit ta-petro.com to learn more.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Bill in Los Angeles, who combines two topics we've been talking about the last hour. One was the single-payer system legislation going to be reintroduced again with the taxes you're going to have to pay, and also Bill Maher on tribalism and wokeness. Hi, Bill. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Not Bill Maher, a different Bill in Los Angeles. Hi, Bill.
We think.
Yes.
Right. Happy New Year, guys. By the way, I have the same. I'm the same age as he is. We have birthdays almost the same time, but different politics. My Democrat governor and legislature are doing that.
Okay, we're losing you, but we think we
got the gist of it.
Yeah, we got the gist of it. Now, thanks. Bro. I didn't see that number because the number back in 2017, 2018 was $400 billion. He just said five. You heard him say $500
billion. I heard. But you could be right.
Well, I understand.
Yeah, I think.
I understand electronic gibberish.
And you were also raised in a bar, so it made sense.
Very quickly,
I think I heard $500 billion.
Very quickly, when I was a club DJ, you could have the sound going crazy, and you could hear everything that people were saying all around the bar, even though the music was extremely loud.
Really?
Yep. I could always hear people talking.
Hmm.
Most of it was not complimentary towards the DJ, who was me, spinning the music.
Oh, okay.
Stop playing ABBA. No, I'm just... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I think I heard $500 billion as well, but, you know, he makes the point. And thank you, Bill. How do you have that conversation with them? Where's the middle ground for the people who want to have the employer-based healthcare system fully intact and not have the state government in control of it and rationing and taxing the daylights out of people? It's because here's the thing. The projections on what it would cost and therefore the funding mechanisms in this proposal are light. They are going to increase greatly along the way. How do we know this? Well, number one, the history of the cost of healthcare. It doesn't go down. It goes up. And also how people react to incentive and disincentive, as we talked about for years. And we're already seeing that because of the cost of living in California. So huge, people are leaving the state. And so are companies. And so the people who remain and the companies who remain are going to be burdened even further and have to take on a greater share of those costs. And or the rationing by the state government, which would be hidden. You wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't know why you were denied whatever it is. But that would have to also be increased. It would not. It is not going to go the way they think it is going to go. It will sound all great and noble, but you've got to pay for it, and you can't possibly pay for it all, which means you're not going to get it all.
Well, here's the thing. When you tell people you will have no choice but the government plan, and you have choices right now, you're going to have people object to it. When you say we're going to take away choice and you have no choice, where's the middle ground?
Right.
You're not saying we want to have this system and you can still be in your system. We're saying if you live in this state, we take away any choice. You have zero choice. Where's the middle ground when it's you have no choice? Mm. By the way, one point that was brought up here, this is the Times of San Diego. We had talked about this last hour. It assumes that unions, including those of government workers, would also be willing to throw their health care money into the pot, meaning their often lavish benefits would be equalized with the rest of the state's residents.
Yeah.
And you would have to get voter approval of it.
Yeah.
And we mentioned with Medicare. Medicare, where you can, you know, go into Medicare Advantage and get a ton of different choices of what to choose from, gone.
Right.
Everybody's in the exact same. Your
After
choice.
After people have paid for their lifetime into Medicare.
Yes. Your choice as a senior citizen with more medical concerns, you lose choices.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Put that on the ballot.
Yep.
Let's see how that works.
lazy and prone to long lunches. Uh-huh. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. The Supreme Court released an amended version of its Saturday oral argument transcripts in order to correct an error involving a question asked by Associate Justice Neil Gorsuch. The left jumped on this, claiming because of the conservatives jumping all over Kagan and Sotomayor and Breyer for the misinformation that they gave during oral arguments against Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for companies employing more than 100 individuals. Gorsuch asked why OSHA does not mandate vaccines for other illnesses such as the flu. Quote, "We have flu vaccines. The flu kills, I believe, hundreds, thousands of people every year. OSHA has never purported to regulate on that basis," the justice noted. However, the initial transcript of the oral arguments claimed that Gorsuch asserted that hundreds of thousands of people died.
That's not what he said.
Of the flu every year, no. And so, but, oh, they went nuts, causing left-wing publications and commentators to accuse the justice of promoting COVID-19 misinformation. The edited transcript first reported by The Hill. From 2010 to 2020, between 12,000 and 61,000 people died of the flu every year, according to estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Hmm. So, and where was I believe that at one time, I'm trying to see when you go back. They only go back to 2010. Because I thought there was a 1 year when, here in the last 20, I think, that when there's a real bad flu, that it was close to 100,000 at one point. So, yeah, they jumped on that because conservatives had jumped all over. They did not rewrite the transcript for any of the liberal justices.
No, because that's what they said. The transcript is a record of exactly what they said. The record of what he said was wrong. And so, you know,
is there now a new conspiracy theory that Roberts is, I'm just throwing this, I'm making this conspiracy theory up as I go along, but that's what you do, right?
Why not?
That actually that's what he said, and Roberts is just trying to hide the misinformation coming from conservatives.
You can listen to the audio. The audio is posted, so you can go back and listen to it. There are a number of sites that have it posted.
Would it hurt my conspiracy theory?
Yes. So you won't do it.
Then there's no reason for me as a far leftist to do that.
Or you can edit it. Right. In the world of deep fakes, what isn't possible these days? You know, I mean, if I'm going to
just selectively edit it,
if I'm going to be if I were an actor, you know, late in life actor, I'd be working with a software company or somebody, producers, to embrace the deep fake thing and say, look, I want my estate to be able to go on and make more money after I'm gone, and so I can do endorsements, you know, reverse mortgage, things like this after you pass. I would embrace it. But yeah, there's no telling. I mean, when I first saw the headline yesterday about the correction, I thought it was they were going to issue a statement. And they were just correcting the transcript instead. I thought they were going to issue a statement because Sotomayor on social media and Kagan were just getting it handed to them over the weekend. Well, it started immediately on Friday, you know. But, you know, you're not going to. That's what they said. And, you know, they don't care about correcting anything.
Well, that's interesting because I believe that if they asked to put out a statement saying that it was, you know, it was misstated, that is something that you would want to do to show the world. I mean, I would want to do that if I was a judge. If I was a Supreme Court justice and I put out information that was wrong,
you would want to correct that yourself.
I'd want to correct it just to maintain the credibility of, you know, because I'm part of the court, the credibility of the court that I'm a part of. And then if I make a huge mistake, say that was, misstatement by the justice, and the justice apologizes, for that statement.
Right.
We haven't had that.
No. And I suspect it's not going to happen. You know, you're not going to see that kind of approach. Why be honest about it? I mean,
I'm sorry, but that question in itself in today's environment was just the best. Why be
honest about it?
I mean, I'm thinking of a politician walking around, sir, what you said last week was not correct. Well, why be honest about it?
Why be honest?
What a great answer that would be. Just go everywhere. Go, why be honest about it?
Everybody lies. I do, too. Get over it.
Remember that fake guy who ran for political office? I mean, he was basically a parody. This guy running for political office saying, vote for me. And then he did the same thing. They lie. I lie. We all lie, but at least I'm telling you about it.
Yeah.
So elect somebody who's going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Look, I'm really in this I'm in this for myself. I can get a great job. I can serve a term for you, do a half posterior job, and then go out and get a great lobbyist job for the rest of my life. So vote for me, because at least you're voting for honesty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do the opposite. Why be honest?
I'm a liar, but I'm being honest about it. You'll confuse so many people. It's like, oh, but he's honest. Yeah, he admits he's a liar, but he's honest about it. But
how do you know?
But
what if he's occasionally telling the truth?
Yeah. that actually would be, you know. After I retire from this thing, when I'm, you know, God willing, like 90, I might run for office based on that. Look, I'm going to lie to you. I'm lying to you right now that I want to serve you. That was a lie. I'm serving me.
Well,
it's all about me, and it's only going to be about me, but I want you to believe that it is about you.
Well, after watching the Twilight Zone marathon on New Year's Eve, as a politician, why are you running? To serve man.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That is just the greatest episode.
Yeah,
that is the greatest
episode. It's a mind bender.
I was going through, yeah. There was a Twilight Zone marathon on, I think it was Christmas Eve, and I was asleep by, good God, what did I make? Did I make it to I think 10:30, but in the afternoon it was just nothing goes on. It's going on, you know, New Year's Eve. And so just sitting there and talking to a friend of mine, and she said, you know, the Twilight Zone marathon's on. I said, I got to watch it. And To Serve Man was like the second one in.
Yeah.
And in case people aren't familiar with it, it's the aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aliens come down to Earth and they have all good intentions, and they're going to make sure that people don't get sick and plenty of food for everybody else. And they have, like, their ultimate book, and this is
the
ultimate, like, their Bible of why they're coming down.
Right.
And why they go to, you know, different worlds and help all these people. And they, the only thing that, you know, the humans have to, you know, try to, you know, it's a different language, an alien language, so they have to try to figure out what it actually says. And they finally figure out that the title of the book is To Serve Man.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds very noble.
So it's very noble, and until at the end, if you've never seen it, should I give it away? Because I gave it away to somebody, and they said, you shouldn't have given it away.
It aired 60 years ago.
I guess I can.
They've had time. So if you don't want to hear it, la, la, la.
And so there's the aliens are coming down to Earth, and people of Earth are taking, you know, the tourist spaceship back up to the other planet.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting on and smiling, and it's going to be great. And they've got great malls up there. That was one of the best ones. They got great stores. You can get everything. The one woman was talking about it.
The shopping is fabulous.
I was like, and all of a sudden, the one woman who's trying to decipher, who succeeds in deciphering the book, comes running up as the other researcher is just about getting on the spacecraft. And she says, no, no, don't get on. Don't get on. Don't get on. He turns around and goes, what, what? She goes, to serve man, it's a cookbook.
Yeah, I love
it. And that's just the best one.
Yeah. They were all being treated like cattle.
Yeah.
Fattened up.
And they're fat.
Kept healthy.
And that was them. He was in the spaceship. And
yeah. They were ranching humans.
But they allowed him to smoke cigarettes. I actually noticed that. And then he's just dropping the cigarette butts on, and the alien comes across in the intercom. Don't drop your cigarette butts on the floor.
I eat smoked fish, so, you know.
So that's what I do as a politician. Why are you here? To serve man.
Yeah. Look, I want you to believe. Listen, in your heart, I need Americans and my constituents to believe it's about you. I need you to believe that. It's not true, but I need you to believe
I need you to believe it's all about you.
I want you to believe. Everyone, believe with me. Tell everyone to believe. Believe in Eric. By the way, that last line was very funny. Believe in Eric. That's going to be my campaign slogan.
Well, as George said, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it.
It's also not a lie if you tell them that you're lying to them. That's an episode of The Twilight Zone right there.
That was one of the greatest lines on television, though, ever.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From Seinfeld.
Oh, the catchphrases from that series.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, to me,
all
that
day
was,
long.
The first time I heard that, I mean, I was just dying. Then the way he looked at him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. And that for me, that's special, especially with my dad telling me at 14 years of age, Gary, you're going to find out that people want to be BS'd.
Well,
and that has always stuck with me. And I was an idealist saying, no, they don't, Dad. They don't. They want to be told the truth. People want to know. He goes, no, they don't. They want to be BS'd. And then when Costanza said that to Jerry.
Well, because you know why it worked so well? The character of George.
Yes.
But then let's put that on stage with another George. George Carlin doing that joke or just delivering that line to his audience. Remember, it's not a lie if you believe it. It would have been brilliant Carlin material.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Because it's observational in a very deep way. Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So Stacey Abrams isn't going to be at Biden's voting rights speech in Georgia today.
Oh,
they
really?
Said she had a conflict. Excuse me, you're talking voting rights? She believes the election was stolen in 2018 from her.
She wants to be the next governor?
She wants to be the next governor. Biden is coming in. He is the person who has put out the most racist rhetoric, race-baiting rhetoric on the Georgia election law, which isn't true, in order to cause racial division. Exactly the kind of identity politics that she embraces and she believes will win her the election, and she's not going to be there?
Really?
you couldn't make the appointment the other day, or you couldn't get Joe Biden to show up the day before or the day after, she doesn't want to be seen with him.
You look at, you know, I mean, the voter base for, and of course, his approval numbers overall in that state are very, very low. 30% as opposed to 59% disapprove, according to the Civics poll. Then you break down into each of the subgroups. 18 to 34 is dismal. 20% approve. 64. Again, this is Biden approval numbers, according to Civics. Then you get into whites, 15% approval. Black or African-American, 58% approval, 22% disapproval. But his numbers across the board in their voting base should be much, much higher. And it's not for their party.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live, or you can download our app and listen whenever you want. All right. With all this filibuster talk for a while now, we've been asking the question, I haven't seen any polling. You know, what's the polling for the Democrats? One would think with the Democrats promoting the filibuster, we need to get rid of the filibuster to save the democracy. You would figure that it would be landslide number of Democrats that agree, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because remember, Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, the vast majority of Democrats, this is about saving the democracy. Eliminating the filibuster to save the democracy. The polling numbers must be through the roof for Democrats who support getting rid of the filibuster, right?
Yeah, sure.
Wrong.
Oh.
Latest INI tip poll out there on the filibuster. Are you ready?
All right.
It's within the margin of error. It's 2.8. percentage points, plus or minus 2.8, which means in the margin of error, it's a tie for Republicans and Democrats. 51% of the Democrats support the filibuster compared to 53% of Republicans, all within the margin of error in the poll, which means it's a tie. Now, more Democrats, 35% oppose the filibuster, only 24% Republicans. Okay. But for support, and the rest are, I don't know. But as for the support, it's basically a tie. This is not a winning issue for the Democrats. Well, they can make the case this is for democracy and the filibuster is racist, right?
You know, come
up with that. So let's delve more into it and see, for example, all right, what about blacks and Hispanics?
Mm-hmm.
They support the filibuster 51% to 30. They share a closer view of the filibuster and support the filibuster as much as much more, much closer to conservatives than liberal.
Hmm.
As a group, meanwhile, whites support the filibuster by a far slimmer 43% to 33% margin. The rest are,
I don't know.
It's not even a winner at the polls for them. And you know, why would you have so many Democrats that would not support the filibuster if they're being told that this will save the democracy? Well, because they're probably not stupid and realize it could work against them if Republicans get power.
Yeah, go ahead and make it happen, and then all of a sudden, in November, things change, which means that as of January of next year, Republicans have power.
You know, you've got Biden going to Georgia today to promote the voting rights bill, which is what they want to bypass the filibuster on.
Well, yeah, that's the push is going to be the filibuster, but ultimately to get the voting rights bill and the agenda done.
Right, because if they get rid of the filibuster, well, you don't. They don't have enough, even if they got rid of the filibuster. They don't have enough to get.
Because here's the question: where does Sinema, Tester, where do they stand on this, Manchin? Where do they stand on those individual bills? I haven't seen where Schumer, last week he was saying there's going to be a vote on the filibuster.
By the 17th.
Yeah. I haven't seen where he has backed off of that. He might the morning of the 17th when they don't have the votes. And right now, I haven't seen anybody. Well, I'll put it this way. Would Biden and Harris be promoting it? Trying to get the public to put pressure on their senators if they had the votes.
Well, as they right here in Politico, not a conservative magazine, a Democratic senator from Arizona is still not sold on changes to the filibuster, and it's not Sinema. Mark Kelly is not yet committed to a change in the Senate rules that would allow election reform legislation to pass by a simple majority.
Oh, really?
Kelly said Monday he is still undecided just days before he may have to vote on proposals to weaken the filibuster.
What has he actually decided on?
He seems undecided
on a number of things, but here's the difference is in 2021, you can get away with things, but when you're up for re-election, and he is, this November, then everything is going to stand out.
I've never been part of an organization where it's really, really hard to do things. So if there's a real proposal, I'll take a look at it and evaluate it based on what's in the best interest of the country. Man, he's good at saying nothing, isn't he?
Wow. Wow. Wah, wah, wah.
He said he has yet to see what exactly he would vote. He said he is yet to see what exactly he would vote on and that the proposals Democrats have discussed change almost weekly.
Well, the filibuster thing's pretty clear.
Pretty clear. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You either want the filibuster gone or not.
Manchin and Sinema are the source of most of the liberals' frustration these days, with both publicly against changes to the Senate 60-vote threshold. But it's not like Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer starts a pivotal week focused on changes to the very fabric of the Senate with 48 ironclad votes for a particular filibuster reform. Kelly is one of a handful of Democrats still weighing what to do about the party's drive to allow sweeping federal elections legislation to evade the Senate 60-vote threshold. And a range of views and Democratic hesitance reflect the gravity of the debate. Already, Republicans are threatening to gum up the Senate if Democrats change the procedures of the institution, but nonetheless, longtime defenders of the filibuster may have to make some very tough choices, particularly as Biden's economic agenda is stalled in Congress and Democrats reckon with sky-high promises they made after taking back the majority last year. Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, who helped organize a bipartisan letter backing up the legislative filibuster in 2017, he organized the letter backing up a legislative filibuster in 2017, said he's seriously weighing what to do. So they're going to try, you know, they're trying to convince him we're going to do a carve out. We'll do a carve out and it won't affect. We'll change the Senate rules just for this bill only. for election integrity laws. And it's like, sorry, you do that. It's good. It's, this is the same thing as Harry Reid.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're only doing it for judges here. Fine, you do it there. Then you've changed the rules, and now you're saying you're going to pick and choose. Well, then Republicans will pick and choose.
Right. If you can do it, they can do it too.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds like they're waiting. Nobody wants to be the first at the buffet table, aside from Manchin and Sinema. Bring it to a vote, please. I want to see how many Democrats aren't on board for it, aside from Manchin and Sinema.
And there's the whole thing, too. This is the problem with the, which is always the problem. There is more support for the filibuster in the Democratic Party than to get rid of it.
Yeah, because they know what will happen.
Yeah. I mean, you have most when you look at it. What was it from? Let me just see for Democrats as a whole. Let me just see here. Let me just get to it here quickly. Okay. 51-35.
Yeah.
51% of Democrats support the filibuster in the latest poll. 35% don't support it. That's a 16-point difference in Democrats.
Yeah. Because they know what goes around comes around.
So Schumer puts a vote on it, forcing people to take a vote on it of legislation that is doomed to begin with, because forget about the 60 vote threshold. They can't get to 50.
Yeah.
Yet everybody then is, and you probably have Republicans saying, look at the polling numbers on this with Democrats. Why are they going forward with this? If they don't have the numbers to do it and they try to do it, everybody's on record of something that Democrats don't even want.
Yep. Yeah.
On a piece of legislation that probably might be held up in the courts for years.
I don't know why you would take that to a vote if you didn't have a solid head count.
So you got the senator from New Hampshire so far just doesn't want where they want to go. You've got Tester.
Hmm.
Tester hasn't done it. Manchin, Sinema, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 senators right now that are publicly speaking. Plus the senators, and I forgot how many there were that voted on the bipartisan, it's like 7 or 8 or something like that.
Hmm.
Other senators, Democrat senators had voted in 2017 or, put in that letter, we do not want to get rid of the filibuster, basically telling Republicans and we don't plan on doing it. That
right.
was a bipartisan letter to keep the filibuster. And now all of a sudden they're going to change because one bill is that important, that bill probably would be held up in the courts for years because it takes power away from states in federal elections. Are you kidding me?
Warnock. Is Warnock going to vote to do away with the filibuster? Also up for re-election in Georgia. By the way, is he going to be there?
Well, do you want him? It doesn't matter if
today.
If,
is he going to be
Warnock?
Up here?
I don't know.
But if he's up for re-election, but he sees what his constituents see, that if you do this, if you change the filibuster rule, you do away with the filibuster. It's going to come back to haunt us.
Well, even
and keep in mind, Warnock and Mark
Kelly
in Arizona are the two seats that many people are watching. And so, if they both vote for removing the filibuster, and they lose, ouch.
Well, you've got 6 senators. I said 5. You got 6
mm-hmm.
right now that are noted in Politico.
Right.
And so if you know you don't have the votes because you're being told Manchin and Sinema are not going to go for it.
Right.
Well, then you're going to have a lot of these senators who voted to support the filibuster and even more vote no because of the election coming up.
Right.
You get a horrible defeat.
Yeah. And you put them on record for no reason.
And you put everybody on record for no reason.
Right.
Because you haven't won what you wish. So what they don't even know what the bill is going to be. Is it going to be to get rid of the filibuster or just a carve out? But Manchin said blunt, he's against a carve out and Sinema's against it.
Right.
Any change in the filibuster too.
Right.
So you still don't have it. So if you do just the carve out, is that what they're looking to do? Well, if we can say we're just going to carve out the election law here and we get this, well, then we have the political win?
Yeah. I don't see that. I don't see that at all.
How many states, when you really get down to it, this is the same thing we said about the Senate. You know, this the abstract versus reality. Well, the Democrat states want to get rid of the Senate. Really? The small Democratic states want to give up representation?
Has Bernie said that he would like to retire and that he would not want the Senate there anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Forget about Bernie. What does the state think?
Right. His constituents.
Yeah.
Right.
What does
right.
his constituents think? Let's lose right. power. You know, a Bernie Sanders has no power anymore.
Right.
And how you get rid of the Senate, I don't know. I don't know what the makeup would be. But this is the abstract versus reality.
Right.
How many of the small blue states would actually wish to have less representation in the Republic?
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
During the first 11 months of 2021, the U.S. exported just over $160.5 billion worth of ag products. How much of that went to China?
18%.
18%. This from Agriculture Department economist and tracker of trade, Bart Kenner. So some quick math says 18% amounts to sales to China during the first 11 months of 2021 of
$29.4 billion. That is 35% more than the $21.7 billion in 2020.
Looking at some of the major bulk commodities,
soybeans to China were up 7%. $11.9 billion in exports. Corn exports to China were up 421% at $408 billion. And wheat, 60% increase from 2020 at $750 million.
But cotton sales to China down 24%. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, Biden's going to be in Georgia today. I'm sure rallying on the same thing that he's always done, the lie that the Georgia election law is like Jim Crow on steroids, which, of course, is, as we have said before, just the perfect example of race baiting, of doing what a hate group leader would do, and that's lying about something in order to cause racial division and racial hatred. It's the worst of the Democratic Party. It's the mainstream of the Democratic Party, and they're just going to continue it again today.
Yep, they will. Here's your forecast.
Sub-zero temperatures overnight will be found along the Canadian border into the upper Great Lakes and northeast. Overnight lows in the 20s for the Tennessee Valley And in some of the coldest air of the season thus far, 30-degree readings will be felt as far south as Florida. West of the Mississippi, not much warmer overnight with teens, 20s, and 30s, by and large. A big dip in the jet stream will keep temperatures on the chilly side from Chicago into Cincinnati. Daytime highs will struggle to hit the freezing mark over to the mid-Atlantic and points northward. Atlanta will struggle to hit 50, mid-50s for central Texas, 42 for Salt Lake City, 57 the expected high in Los Angeles. More lake effect snow is predicted for the upper Midwest. Most of the nation will remain dry today with the exception of the Pacific Northwest, with rain for coastal Washington and Oregon. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Polling better than Biden. Eric and Gary on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You ready for our audio cut of the day?
Uh-huh.
CNN anchor Jake Tapper yesterday, okay?
All right.
Here we go. On hospitalizations because of COVID. All right. Here we go.
And have had to COVID or the Omicron variant detected.
Right.
So the hospitals are still stretched thin because of this. So I'm not trying to take away from that. But if 40% in some hospitals, 40% of the people who have COVID don't necessarily have problematic COVID. They're there because they got in a car accident. They bumped their head, and they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
Yeah, I agree, Jake. It surprises me that they have not been able to parse out that data more carefully. I think the data that Dr. Olensky is quoting is from New York State, and we've been following that data as well. And I can show you what we've seen, sort of tracks with what she said. But out of all the patients that are in the hospital, about 57%, these are COVID patients, admitted because of or complications from COVID, 43% admitted for other reasons and then diagnosed with COVID. I think, you know, there needs to be transparency about that.
22 months into the pandemic, CNN is calling for transparency in the hospitalization numbers.
Hey, we don't think we're getting the full picture here.
Wow. All right.
I don't know why, but I'm flashing back to 2020 when we were and others were asking the same question.
Yeah.
And now 22 months later,
well, that's it.
I don't think this isn't right.
This doesn't make any sense.
This sounds like it's misleading.
Right.
Welcome aboard. Our favorite story of the day, though, is what is going on in Quebec, in Canada.
Ah, yes.
During a news conference last Thursday, the Quebec health minister said that starting January 18th, in order to increase vaccination, that residents will need to show proof of vaccination to buy alcohol and pot. Since they did that last Thursday.
Any results?
Vaccinations have quadrupled.
Get out of my way. I'm just trying to get healthy.
You would think it might bring them peace of mind, because if they weren't vaccinated, They might have been fine with it, but when they got high, they might have got paranoid and said, oh, no. Oh, no, I'm not vaccinated. This way, now when they're getting high, they can say, oh, I'm vaccinated.
Or,
dude, I'm okay.
Or they could take it even further with the paranoia. Oh, man, I think I feel the vaccine. Oh, man, do you feel the vaccine? I feel the vaccine, man. What are we going to do, man? I feel the vaccine.
It could go the other way. You're right.
Come on, man. What are we going to do? I can feel the vaccine.
What am I going to do? Shots.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Man, forgot to go to the forgot to go to the liquor store.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Let's make a run. Is there a place, is there that app, is that, I forgot the name of the app. I keep seeing it.
Hmm.
They deliver alcohol now? You can get alcohol delivered through an app?
Yeah,
Drizzly, that's it. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
And it depends on the jurisdiction. You can't do that in a dry county or a dry town.
Oh, okay.
But if your jurisdiction, if you can buy it, whatever you can buy locally, you can get delivered. So for me, it's beer and wine.
Well, I know they do that in some states that have legalized pot. They do that, too. There's, like, delivery.
Yeah. But pot dealers have been delivering for a long time.
I meant
it's not new.
I meant legal.
How long has Ace been working for Domino's, man? It's a long time. I saw a documentary where there was a guy, and he was dealing illegally after they got recreational marijuana in California. And he was still dealing to his regular customers. But he did. He had a pizza bag, one of the big flat, insulated bags. And he also had the pizza boxes, and that's how he delivered the pot. He would actually deliver it, and they would give him cash, and boom, there it is. And they followed the documentary maker actually was following him, actually riding along with him.
It's a pot lover's pizza.
That's right.
Oh.
Hey, can I have a large weed with extra weed?
My neighbor told me the other day that they ordered from Domino's. They ordered from the app.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they got a call. We have no drivers.
Oh. I did see that. And there were two school districts yesterday that reported they have no bus drivers. Parents are going to have to take their kids to school.
And the job numbers, we never got a chance to talk about this.
I don't know if that, by the way, I don't know if that was all schools within right. those districts, but if you're a parent, you already know which ones.
But the job numbers
mm-hmm.
the other day, half of what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. 199,000 as opposed to, it was supposed to be over 420.
I said
420.
I am seeing a lot of the things that I want to buy in the store out.
Yes.
I mean, the shelves are still,
right.
I'm not saying that the shelves are still, the majority of the shelves are filled, but it's like the things that I want are gone.
Yeah, there are a number of things right now that just aren't there, right? Yep.
Like, try to find diet iced tea in my local supermarket. Doesn't exist right now.
Hmm.
Can't find it.
Yeah.
What was the other thing that I was trying to find?
I was in a department store the other day, and I walked into
the
men's clothing department, and there was a lot of empty shelves, and including shoes, by the way.
I get the low-carb milk.
Yeah.
Because I'm diabetic, but it tastes really good, but it's got half the carbs. Mm-hmm. I really don't have it a lot, but I love it with my low-carb cereal.
Right.
They had none of it. They were out. Mm-hmm. First time they were out of that completely.
Yeah.
It's called Life Something or something like that. It's the milk that you don't actually have to refrigerate.
Right.
If you don't want. I do, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
And it stays, and it tastes just like regular milk. And it's some kind of new filter process or something.
I walked into two different fast food locations, national franchises, big names. And one of them, they told me they're doing away with the in-store dining altogether. And they're putting in, they've so far put in three kiosks. They're going to add more kiosks, but it's only to-go orders when you come inside. Online or to-go is fine, but there's no indoor dining for good. They're done with it. They're expanding the drive-thru. This is, you know, the shift. It's interesting because I actually said to my wife, you know, probably not a horrible thing that that the food of the fast food is going to be less available to us. But the jobs, you know, are gone or have turned into something else. I have a friend who actually owns some franchises, and each of his managers are working open to close right now until further notice every day. And that's probably going to be the case until, you know, you find out whatever you can do with automation. Ordering you can do with apps and the kiosks in store. Cooking requires an upgrade in equipment. But this is going to be here for the foreseeable future. And I don't know how you respond to it.
Couple of other quick stories here. High levels of protective immune cells. This from the Times of India. High levels of protective immune cells that fight common colds also made people less likely to contract COVID-19 in a new study.
Hmm.
Researchers found higher levels of T cells against certain colds in people who didn't develop COVID while living with someone who had the disease, according to a study released Monday by UK's Imperial College of London.
Hmm.
So that's interesting.
Did you see the Israeli doctor who believes that after the boosters, there's a good chance we won't need any more vaccines, that the protocol essentially would, because if you include the herd immunity, natural immunity, and with Omicron, you have to include that. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's highly contagious. And so if you add that natural immunity on top of the immunized, including the people who got the boosters, especially the people that got the boosters, he believes, again, one guy's opinion, one doctor's opinion, that no more vaccines would be warranted. Now, it doesn't mean the FDA in the U.S., this is an Israeli doctor, it doesn't mean the FDA in the U.S. is going to abide by that, even if you had a global consensus.
But wasn't it either the beginning of Delta or right before Delta that the CDC was stating that with the number of people that were vaccinated, or maybe it was by November, I don't know, maybe it was before Omicron, that they believe that people that have at least partial immunity is over 90% in this country. And that maybe that was after Delta, but before we went into Omicron,
mm-hmm.
that the numbers, because remember, they predicted, they always thought, even before we got into Delta, that it wasn't, remember, that it was tens of millions of people. And they said, no, we believe over 100 million people, maybe
right.
up to 150 million people.
Right.
That's before Delta came along.
Right.
We've had Delta and Omicron now. So if after Delta, they were saying we at least over 90% of the people in this country, they believe, have some type of immunity towards
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
And Omicron hits, you got to be at 95%.
Oh, yeah.
Or 96%. Now, I know a lot of the same people that had Delta might get Omicron or had the other
get
it again. Finally, the Washington Post editorial board isn't buying President Biden's pretense that our inflation problems is being driven by corporate greed. You remember that a couple of weeks ago in an editorial yesterday afternoon, this from the from National Review, the paper noted bluntly that President Biden is facing mounting criticism for inflation's rise to the highest level since 1982, before lamenting, unfortunately, the White House's latest response is to blame greedy businesses. Economists across a political spectrum are rightly calling out the White House for this foolishness. That's from the Washington Post.
Wow.
Even some within the White House are questioning this approach, the Post reports.
Hmm.
Wow. That's the Washington Post.
Yeah.
And you wonder why the numbers just keep getting lower and lower and lower and lower. They're such obvious lies.
And we're not a year in yet.
I looked at the date. I go, oh, wow, we're still another 9 days away from a year.
We got another 3 years of this.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Shell recently launched Shell Rotella T6 15W40 full synthetic. Megan Pino is Shell Rotella global brand manager and tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
We are excited to launch this new full synthetic Shell Rotella T6 15W40. This is the first time we have a full synthetic in 15W40 viscosity range. We know that truckers love 15W40. That is the primary viscosity grade used in the U.S. and Canada and really in many parts of the world as well. So our customers can enjoy some of the benefits of cold temperature properties, low temperature and high temperature, allowing for the oil to flow faster into the engine and protect it better. Having a full synthetic also allows for extended drain opportunities for those that are trying to push the limits a little bit. But we always recommend following their manufacturer recommendations and doing oil analysis to ensure that they are changing when appropriate.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I can't imagine, I mean, if the Supreme Court doesn't put down a decision today on that stay, I would be extremely surprised, because you just wonder why. Is there a bunch of, concurring opinions, or, are they splitting the baby, as they call it, on it? Will they say, well, for hospitals, no, the OSHA law applies, but it doesn't apply for other industries out there? I have to believe that's what's going on.
Well, why no response when we're talking about just a stay, not a decision? Why is there zero response?
Right.
They could come out and say, we're not going to issue the stay. We'll let it get back to the Supreme Court. The case will work its way through the courts and we'll revisit then.
Yep.
Why not?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.